sur location.
Jakou loď ti ona?
Location. Location.
Welcome to Echolocation, the show that eavesdrops on Mother Nature and lends an ear to the unheard frequencies of the natural world. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lo Judas, and let's take a woodsy walk. On this winter edition of Echolocation, we'll explore the subterranean forest communication network that pervades my neighborhood and wander the world on some virtual acoustic woodsy walks. We'll tune into music inspired by trees and check out a stereo that plays records made of slices of tree trunks, interpreting the grooves made by the tree's growth rings into piano music. It's a cold and windy afternoon here in the woods, and I'm standing by some hemlock trees, and I've shared this soundscape of this place on this show in the springtime. Summer.
Hello.
and the fall. And here we are in winter, when the soundscape is more subtle and subdued. But looking out over a hillside covered in snow, the silent trees stand tall, and they seem so stoic and serene, towering above me. I've walked these woods so many times that I'm pretty sure that the deer know me, and the squirrels know me, and the birds know me. But sometimes I wonder, do the trees know me? A forest in summertime is a buzz of activity and a riot of green plants that, taken as a whole, seem like an interconnected ecosystem. But in the cold winter months, the connections in the forest are less evident, and one could easily mistake the hillside of trees for simply a bunch of trees. And one could assume that the deciduous trees that lose their leaves, like the maples all around me, are in a state of dormancy over the cold winter months. And that might be true, but there's really so much more than what meets the eye or the ear going on in here in the winter. But to perceive it all, we have to go underground. Down there, tree roots spread out across an area that's the same size or even larger than the canopy of leaves above. Roots from individual trees are connected to others through a symbiotic partnership formed with fungi, in which long filaments of fungi, known as mycelium, fuse to plant roots and help them access water and nutrients. In exchange, the roots share some of the carbon-rich sugars that are produced through photosynthesis and stored below ground during the cold months of the year. This fusion of plant roots and fungi is called mycorrhiza, and it forms a living network that's widespread and abundant in forests and other natural environments. In a forest, trees can pass carbon, water, nutrients, alarm signals, and even hormones to each other through the network. Ecologists have learned that mature trees often pass resources to saplings or trees that are struggling from poor conditions, infestation, or disease. Trees and other plants are connected to many fungal species in a mutually beneficial relationship that feeds all and provides a means of silent communication between them. Maybe you've heard stories about mycorrhizal networks, sometimes called the Wood Wide Web, a term dubbed to describe the pervasive underground mutual aid and communication system in forests. I've been curious about it for a long time, so I read a few articles about the topic, one from the Smithsonian Magazine, written by Richard Grant and published in 2018. The other, which just ran earlier this month in the New York Times Magazine, entitled The Social Life of Forests, was written by Ferris Jaber. Both articles focus on the work of Suzanne Simard, a professor of forest ecology at the University of British Columbia, who studies plant communication and behavior. Dr. Simard has been a pioneer in the investigation of mycorrhizal networks and forest ecology. Her early work demonstrated that the fungal network connected two different species of trees, an evergreen, Douglas fir, and paper birch, a deciduous tree. Beyond that, her research showed that the birch and fir trees, different species of trees, were passing carbon via the mycorrhizal network. In the summertime, when the firs were shaded by taller trees, the birches passed carbon to them. In the winter, when the birches lost their leaves, the fir passed carbon to their roots. So in effect, they're feeding each other when the other was low on resources. And then over the course of her career, which has spanned, over the past 25 or 30 years, Dr. Simard and her graduate students have studied many aspects of this underground forest communication network. And they've shown that plants send out chemical alarm signals to warn others of danger, and that trees respond chemically to those stressors. And they've shown that the network is central to the well-being of the forest, especially to young trees. These older and more mature trees send support and resources to young trees, especially, although not exclusively, to their own kin. And if the health of a seedling is threatened, the older trees will send more resources to it. And when seedlings are severed from the network, they're more likely to die than those who remain connected. And when a tree itself is likely to die, it passes stored carbon to others. And in the New York Times article, Dr. Simard makes some observations about the perceptions of trees and the fact that trees can perceive insect infestation and communicate with others and receive and give mutual aid. And she even mentions that trees may be able to perceive us in the forest. So as I stand here today, I wonder, are the trees talking? And maybe even, are the trees talking about me? It's a whole new way to think about the woods when you think about the woods thinking about you. You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM in the Upper Hudson Valley and on the World Wide Web at wavefarm.org. We've been exploring the scientific research of forest ecologist and University of British Columbia professor Suzanne Simard, who studies the networks of plants and fungal roots that exist below ground in temperate rainforests of the Pacific Northwest and in many other parts of the world. I read an interview between Dr. Simard and the writer Brandon Keim that appeared in Nautilus. And in that article, Dr. Simard argues that plants have intelligence. She says that trees can communicate, receive messages, perceive threats, and change their behavior based on that perception, as well as learn and remember. When asked how trees remember, Dr. Simard pointed out that the growth rings that a tree adds to its trunk each year records the conditions under which a tree lived and reflects life events like droughts, competition from other trees, as well as optimal growing conditions. The piano piece that we just heard aims to give sonic expression to the records stored in trees' growth rings. We heard the track Acer from sound artist Bartholomos Traubach's work entitled Years. The work uses computer-aided systems to make music from the annual growth rings recorded on thin slices of tree trunks. Years, which was created in 2012, contains interpretation of the growth rings of seven different species of Austrian trees. The track Acer is a recording made from a slice of a maple tree. Traubach describes the process of making years this way, and I'm quoting here, "A tree's year rings are analyzed for their strength, thickness, and rate of growth. This data serves as basis for a generative process that outputs piano music. It is mapped to a scale which is again defined by the overall appearance of the wood, ranging from dark to light and from strong texture to light texture. The foundation for the music is certainly found in the defined rule set of programming and hardware setup, but the data acquired from every tree interprets this rule set very differently. In years, the piano interprets the memory stored in tree rings, but the presence of trees has inspired more melodic compositions as well. During the course of today's show, we'll be listening to pianist Ralph Gothini playing composer Jean Sibelius's work for piano, Opus 73, which includes 5 pieces inspired by trees. We'll listen now to The Birch Tree. You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM and on the World Wide Web at wavefarm.org. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lo Judas, and if you'd like to find out more about underground mycorrhizal networks, the work of artist Bartholomew Traubeck, or anything else you hear on today's show, you can find a complete list of references by visiting our Facebook page at echolocationwgxc/facebook.com. We started today's show with the woodsy walk in New York's Hudson Valley, and now we're going to take an audio stroll in forests throughout the world. The website Sounds of the Forest hosts an interactive map of 1-minute recordings of forest sounds and forest species that were recorded by people throughout the world. And Sounds of the Forest are collecting the sounds of woodlands from all around the world to create a growing sound map, bringing together oral tones and textures from the world's woodlands. The sounds form an open source library to be used by anyone to listen to and create from. Selected artists will be responding to the sounds that are gathered and creating music and audio artwork that will be presented at the Timber Festival in 2021. And the Timber Festival is an international forest festival that is held annually and will be held in July of 2021 in the United Kingdom. And it's a joint venture between the National Forest Company and something called Wild Rumpus, who have come together to create an international festival exploring the transformative impact of forests. And the National Forest is a project that is aimed at forest regeneration and is going to create England's first new forest in over 1,000 years. And it's going to be a 200 square mile forest in the UK. And the festival itself looks really cool with art and music. And it looks like some circus arts and tightrope walking in the forest and all sorts of cool activities. But if you don't think you'll get to the UK next July, you can just visit the website
and check out the interactive sound map. And you can actually download these recordings, that these crowdsourced recordings from all over the world, free to use Sounds of the Forest in your own creative work or just for easy listening. And the website is timberfestival.org.uk/soundsoftheforest-soundmap. And we're going to take a listen to some of these forest sounds from around the world. And we're going to start with a recording from Mount Haguro Forest in Soroka, Japan, recorded by Matt Eric Hart in August of 2019. And it's a recording of Mount Haguro Forest ambience standing in front of the ancient grandpa cedar tree known as Jusugi. And the flow of the Haragawa River can be heard amongst the evening chorus of various forest wildlife, including the evening cicada and the large brown cicada. So let's take a listen. So that was the forest in Japan, and we're going to go now to Argentina to listen to Sounds of the Forest recorded by Luciano Cacho Perez in a forest near the Rio Azul in El Botín, Patagonia, Argentina, recorded in 2018. And now we'll hear some forest sounds from Turkey. This recording was made in the Izmir province in Bozdag, Turkey, and it was recorded by Efler Yolu. And now we'll listen to the sound of lemurs from Madagascar. And this was recorded by Professor Julia Jones, a conservation scientist at Bangor University. And it's the calls of Indri, which are the largest lemur in Madagascar. And finally, we'll listen to sounds from New Zealand, from the Enderby Island, which is in the Auckland Islands in New Zealand. This was recorded by Nicholas I. Allen in 2011, and it's the sound of the male New Zealand bellbird.
Thank you.
You're listening to Echolocation, and we just heard another selection from Gene Sibelius' work for pianos, Opus 73, which includes five pieces inspired by trees. And we heard Aspen, which was performed by Ralph Guthani. And after that, we heard a piece from artist Bartholomaus Traubeck's Years, which plays thin slices of forest trees like an LP record to create computer-aided piano music. And the record we heard reflected the lifetime of growth rings from an ash tree that grew in Austria. So far on today's show, we've learned that trees talk through silent subterranean fungal networks that pervade forests throughout the globe. And we've heard computer-interpreted sounds made from data gathered from wood. But we haven't really explored the sounds that trees make as a means of communication. And we mostly hear them creaking in the wind or the rustle of leaves. But I was wondering, what can we learn, or what are we learning from the sounds that trees make? And in search of an answer to that question, I came across an article by Gabe Popkin that was published in National Geographic in 2013. And the article was entitled "Trees Call for Help and Now Scientists Can Understand." And it described the work of a team of French scientists who aimed to figure out what thirsty trees sound like. and they captured ultrasonic noise made by bubbles forming inside of water-stressed trees. And you don't really want bubbles to form inside of water-stressed trees. Trees move water from the roots up to the leaves, kind of like how you suck liquid through a straw, and the leaves are your lips exerting pressure that pulls the water up. And the xylem is the part of the tree that moves water up. And xylem can be under intense pressure as the water moves up to great heights to the top of the trees. And drought-stricken trees can exert even more pressure to keep the movement of water upward, using the capillary action of water, moving the water up. And this increased pressure that drought-stricken trees are using to pull the water up can actually cause the water column to break, which allows dissolved air bubbles to form. And those air bubbles block water flow, causing a damaging condition called catavation. And if too many catavations occur, obstructing water flow in several locations throughout the xylem, a tree can die. So this research team that was led by Andrei Ponomarenko, a physicist at Grenoble University in France, they were listening for ultrasonic indicators of catavations so that they could respond by watering the trees to assure the adequate flow of xylem. So even though the trees may not intend to communicate with their sounds, humans are applying our technology to interpret them. And on that note, let's listen to another piece from Bartholomew Traubeck's Years. This one interprets the growth rings of the alder tree. Thank you. You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM in New York's Greene and Columbia counties and everywhere else at wavefarm.org. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth LoJudis, and on this wintertime edition, we've been exploring the sounds of the forest, the intelligence of trees, and the artwork that they inspire. We just listened to pianist Ralph Guthini playing composer Gene Sibelius's Works for Piano, Opus 73, which includes five pieces inspired by trees. We heard the spruce. I'd like to thank the World Wide Web and the Wood Wide Web for help with this show. Without the Wood Wide Web, that vast, diverse, mycorrhizal network that operates underground to connect living things, I doubt the World Wide Web, which I relied on to create this show, would exist. Thanks to all the writers, artists, and scientists referenced in today's show, and thanks to you for listening. For a complete list of all the references cited today and the playlist, visit echolocationwgxc/facebook.com. Check out the archives of past shows and subscribe to the Echolocation podcast at wavefarm.org. While you're there, please support Creative Community Radio by giving a one-time donation or becoming a sustaining member. The last piece that we'll listen to this evening is Sibelius's piece, The Lonely Pine. Until next time, have a safe and happy new year, and remember to keep your ears to the ground.